Those of you that are by your computer, you can Google plan to achieve self-support, and it'll come up with the Social Security website, and you can kind of read through it as we go, and it might create some additional questions. I'm fortunate in Nebraska to have Kelly Gwicky with Easter Seals as a self-employment benefits specialist. Kelly and I have worked together on some farm plans where I come in and do the agribility recommendations for assistive technology, and then she does the business startup part of it, and it's worked pretty well. But like I say, it's not for everyone. There's criteria that needs to be satisfied, and that's why I asked Kelly to come in and go through it with us. So, Kelly, I'll go ahead and turn it over to you, and I guess if you have questions, I discussed it a little bit with Kelly, and she doesn't mind if you have a question as we go along, just ask it. We're going to keep this pretty informal, and if something pops up that you don't understand or you have a question about, just ask her. So go ahead, Kelly.
Thanks, Rod. Appreciate that. I live out in central Nebraska, actually by Kearney, and I actually do farm. I work for Easter Seals to support my farming habit with my husband. So I'm very familiar with the farming community and understand what farmers and ranchers are all about. So the agribility program is near and dear to my heart. The plan to achieve self-support program that we use as sometimes fits for funding for some of the equipment and assistive technology needs that Rod or Dell might recommend to a client here in Nebraska. It can be used anywhere in the United States. The one thing, it stands for Plan to Achieve Self-Support, and stop me anytime I say some kind of acronym or something that hit home with you, because there's a lot to do with Social Security, and I think people need to say it all the way out instead of giving you all the acronyms all the time. But for right now, I'll just use PASS for Plan to Achieve Self-Support so that I don't have to say that all the time. But at any rate, number one, the person has to be on Social Security benefits of some sort. Now, there's two different types of Social Security benefits. One is SSI and one is SSDI. And SSDI is the one that if you pay the system over the years, you can pull back out if you become disabled and they accept your application for disability. SSI is for those people that have not paid enough in or haven't paid in, and we see that a lot of this with farm wives, because a lot of farmers don't pay any Social Security on their wives, and then they don't have anything to pull back out if they should become disabled. Now, SSI is a needs-based program, and SSDI is not. It is based on what you've paid into the system, and they've got a elaborate formula that they use to determine what you actually will pull back out. And most of us get a annual report every year as to if we become disabled now, this is the amount you could, you know, be pulling out of the system if you needed to go on disability. Or if you retired, this is what you would get at this age or at this age or at this age. So you see that a lot. So basically, and like I said, stop me if I get going and you have a question, because somebody else probably has that question too, and we'll just answer it right then and see where we're at. So the first thing, like I said, they have to be on benefits. So if you've got a client that is receiving Social Security benefits, the PASS might be something that might work for them. They've got to, usually it works best if they're either receiving both benefits or they're receiving at least one or the other. So what happens, let me try to explain this to you, is that let's just say we have a client that is receiving an SSDI benefit. They paid into the system, and they're receiving about $865 a month. That's not very high, but we'll just use that for an example right now. They would pull back out of the system that $865, and if they could be on a PASS, what they would do is they would take that $865, put it into a PASS account. They'd have to have a separate account, and that money would go into the PASS account, less what they call $20 general income exclusion, and they could use that money to pay for a piece of equipment, pay on a loan, pay a business expense, whatever they decide they want to put into the PASS when they write the application. and then they would receive what they call the federal benefit rate in SSI, which right now is $710 a month to live off of. So that brings me to my second thing. Usually it doesn't work real well if somebody's married. It can work because I have clients that are married, but they both have to either be willing to put their disability in if they're both disabled, or if one's not disabled and one is working, they have to be willing to put a portion of their income into the PASS as well to still maintain an SSI eligibility. So, number one, they have to be on benefits. Number two, check and see if they're married, and if the wife is working or the husband's working, whatever, we have to kind of know how much income they're going to be making. If it's quite a bit of income, usually the PASS won't work because people can't afford to live off of the small amount that they're going to get on SSI for their personal. They have to pay, be able to pay their shelter and their food expenses with the SSI amounts that they're getting. And then the PASS can pay for those other business expenses that they may need, like phone and some of that other kind of things that they may have to have for their business. They also need to be projecting that their farm or ranch is going to be making money within a 3-year time frame. So if they aren't going to see that that farm and ranch is going to be starting to make money and at least be able to make about $12,000 or a little above that if they're on SSDI, then they probably would not be able to do a PASS, because they've got to be projecting a plan to achieve self-support means that they want to get off of their cash benefits. And that's what they've got to be able to do, or significantly reduce their SSI amount, which that can happen as well. So those are two things we look for, too. Let's see. And they also, let's try and look at my notes here. They also have to have a stable support system in place, too. So I usually will not even look at a PASS if somebody is going through a divorce or if they've got bankruptcies and those kind of things happening, because they just won't approve it. So that's something that they definitely want to look at. So to just kind of give you an example of what one that I'm currently working on, and it's not necessarily for a farmer, but this person wants to start a business, and they're using some VR money, an Easter Seals loan, and they're also doing a PASS, and they're going to use the PASS to pay back the Easter Seals loan money that they're getting for this equipment that they're going to get for their business. So we have a business plan that showed that this person was going to be able to be self-sufficient within a 3-year time period, which they hopefully will be. And then they will take their money that they receive in SSDI, put it into the PASS, use that money to pay back loan money that they're getting for their business or other business expenses. They'll be receiving $710 plus the $20 general income exclusion that they can take off their SSDI. So they're receiving $730. This person is also going to be receiving some other money from child support and stuff that doesn't have to go in the PASS as well. So that'll help him in making his ends meet. He's not married, which is also a plus for him. And then whatever countable earnings he makes from the business, a portion of those go into the PASS, and then the other portion goes into their actual living expenses. They can use for living expenses as well. And this is kind of a complicated system, and it's hard to get on the first time around. So I'm going to stop for a minute and see if anybody has any questions, first of all, and see where we're at. It's kind of hard to get my attention, I think, when you're just on the phone. Anybody have any questions so far? No? Okay.
Hey, Kelly.
Yeah.
What happens if a person gets into a PASS, has the plan, gets it approved, that it looks like they're going to be profitable in 3 years, and in 3 years they're not? Can they go back on SSDI or SSI at that point?
Actually, a lot of times if they're making progress towards their goals, and maybe let's just say they had a bad year in farming, as we all know that's happened in the past, you know, or the hay prices were out of control and they couldn't meet the expenses they projected. What's happened with our PASS supervisor or whatever, they call it a PASS cadre, it's only one person though, in our central region, is that he will extend it if he sees that the person is trying to meet their goals and they just maybe need another year or whatever is going on. if not, and they you know, the whole thing does fall apart or whatever, yes, they can go back on to their regular benefits that they were receiving at the beginning.
So really, it's nothing ventured, nothing gained. Really, they're not really going to be penalized any for not being successful.
No, if they make sincere attempts at it, as long as they aren't spending the money inappropriately, you know, their past money inappropriately, like going to Jamaica or something like that when they said they were going to use it to pay back this loan, then they won't be charged any overpayment or anything like that. They'll just end the pass and consider it unsuccessful as far as getting self-supporting, and then they'll just go back to their, you know, regular benefits that they were receiving. They, if they were to spend it inappropriately, then they would be charged an overpayment for however long the pass person in Kansas City for us, or wherever your person is across the United States or in different regions, then they would determine how long that person was spending the money inappropriately and then charge an overpayment to them, and they would have to pay that back through their benefits when they got the pass was completed or was terminated or whatever ended up happening with it.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
You bet. Anybody else have any questions so far? Hello? Can I hear somebody? No?
You must be doing a good job.
Evidently. I don't know how, because this stuff is pretty tough to understand. Rod and I have one in particular that used, well, I actually have two clients that have used this program to start goat operations. One was a dairy and one was a meat goat operation. And one of them is struggling right now, but it's not because of the business itself as much as it is that was a couple, and the husband has since had some serious, serious kidney problems. And so they've been going back and forth to Mayo's, and that's been a real strain and drain on everything. And so that's struggling right now. The other one is doing quite well, and he's a meat goat guy, and he's doing quite well and making his payments and doing what he needs to be doing. And the pass is helping him get on his feet and get moving. Because essentially most bankers will look at a pass as, oh, my goodness, they're getting at least $710 extra each month to help with whatever I'm going to loan them money on or whatever it happens to be. And that enhances their financial picture to help them get where they need to be. So I've been seeing that happen over and over again. As far as the actual benefits, does anybody have any questions on SSI and SSDI and how those operate? Maybe I can answer those for you to help you a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe you already know all that stuff.
Yeah, no, I have a question. Now, you said that the person initially draws from the SSDI, and then did you say they could also draw from SSI?
If they're on a pass, then what they do is they take their SSDI, put that in a pass. They have to have separate accounts. And if you're doing a pass, you'd have to have three, actually, separate accounts. You'd have to have a personal account where you're showing that you're spending money for your personal expenses, shelter, and food. You'd have to have one that's a business or a farm account. And then you'd have to have one that's a pass account specifically for the money to show that you're putting the actual amount in that pass account. And then Social Security does not look at that account at all as a resource or anything like that, and they don't count it against you in any way. So does that answer your question?
Well, maybe not quite. So, as I understand, the SSDI is for the person who's paid into it over the years. And
right, right.
Is not. But did you say they could draw from both to get benefits
right.
from both those?
They apply for the pass. They fill out a pass application. I kind of liken this whole thing to writing a personal grant for somebody. Only it's the grant through Social Security, and you have to apply for it and abide by all their rules. But let's just say the person starts off and they're just on SSDI and getting that money, you know, monthly for a benefit. They agree to put that money in the pass, and then Social Security then awards them SSI as well, which makes them also Medicaid eligible if they weren't Medicaid eligible before. So the cool thing about the pass, too, with a lot of my clients is they may need Medicaid for health reasons. I mean, they may be getting Medicare, but they may need Medicaid, too, for different things that Medicare won't pick up. And so this does make them Medicaid eligible. And then when the pass is complete, if they totally complete it and they're off their benefits, their cash benefits, when it's done, which is what the whole idea of it is, then they can retain their Medicaid through a work incentive called 1619B until they reach certain thresholds. And every state has a certain threshold. I know in Nebraska it's about $37,000. So, you know.
Yeah, I guess, still not quite understanding. I thought that a person could only draw from one or the other, but not both, the SSDI or SSI. If you paid into the system, you got SSDI. If not,
right. That's true. You are correct in your thinking. Most people, if they paid into the system, they can draw from SSDI, and that's what they get back. Now, my daughter is on, this is personal as well as professional for me, because I have a daughter that's disabled. And she worked very, very minimally when she was in high school. I helped her clean some basically janitorial work for a while. And she just couldn't hack it, but she was paid. So she actually is drawing a small SSDI check, and then they bring her up to what they call the federal benefit rate, which right now is $710 in SSI. So she's getting both of those benefits right now, because if a person is under $710, then usually Social Security will try to at least make sure that they get paid both of those benefits if they qualify for it with their resources and other criteria that they use to qualify. But yeah, normally they would just get one, because it's usually over the 710 federal benefit rate that SSI is.
I see. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense, or do I need to? I can explain further if you need it. Sorry, because some of this stuff is pretty tough to. Okay.
Yeah, I think I understand. So in other words, you get that threshold, that $710, but if there's not enough in the SSDI to equal that, then SSI.
Yeah, they can get both. They can get both, but with this pass, I can have somebody that is getting $900 in SSDI. They wouldn't normally get an SSI check, but they put the $900 in the PASS account, and then through this writing of this application and everything, then SSA or Social Security will award them SSI on top of that SSDI, which they wouldn't normally get, but they're on this PASS, so that helps them pay their personal expenses like shelter and food while they're paying that loan back or whatever they got the pass for equipment or whatever it happened to be. And, you know, that just helps them get that extra money each month to get the job done, to get where they need to be.
Okay, so only SSDI goes into the pass, not SSI?
In those particular situations, yes, that would be it. Now, if somebody is just on, let's just say that we've got a farm wife that's just on SSI and her husband is gone and she never paid into the system, and then she needs some assistive technology to keep the farm going or whatever. Then if she's totally on SSI, then if she has any earnings that are coming in that are reducing her SSI, because that's what happens with SSDI, you can be on SSDI and everything you make doesn't reduce what you keep in benefits. There are just certain levels. There's a trial work period level, which is $750 a month. If you're earning that, that triggers a trial work period level. And then there's $1,040, which is what they call substantial gainful activity. And that is where the level, if you start working at that level consistently, then that's where you will lose your SSDI check. So, you know, that's kind of that system. And then the other, and I do have a handout that I use that's from Region 7. If anybody's interested and wants that, you can contact me and I'll email it out to you or get a copy to you. It kind of explains, it's a quick reference guide to Supplemental Security Income, or SSI, and Social Security Disability Insurance, or SSDI. So it kind of gives you the both of those type of quickly, you know, what's the difference between the two. But SSI is, like I said, it's needs-based, it's reduced. Like if you earn money, if I were to give my daughter money right now, they would reduce the SSI that she is receiving every month. So if this farm wife were earning some money, then that money could go into her PASS and she'd still maintain that $710 each month and not get it reduced. So there's different ways you can go about it. I've had clients, matter of fact, I had this one GOAT client. I received a big insurance payout from somebody that passed away, and she was beneficiary of a life insurance policy. And that would have thrown her totally out of Medicaid. And so what we did is we put that into her PASS. It did not mess up any of her benefits, and then she used that money because she was wanting to purchase as a down payment on some land that she needed to purchase. So it worked out very interestingly to help people maintain their health benefits and to get them some extra income to do what they need to do. So did I answer your question, sir?
Yeah, I think so, and I would be interested in getting that brochure.
Okay, if you could give a list to, I don't know who heads up this or whatever, or get it to Rod. I mean, I'll be glad to get to whomever would like a copy of this, because it really is pretty helpful to kind of know the difference between the two benefits, you know, just at a quick glance. And like I said, it's just a one-page sheet front and back, so it's not real heavy-duty, you know, government talk and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. Kelly, why don't you send that to me, and then I'll send it out to the group.
Okay, I can do that. You just let me know emails, and I'll be glad to do that. You bet.
Rod should have my email.
Yeah, I can get you that, Kelly. Kelly, okay. Another thing here, I'm listening to all of this with the rates and everything, and I'm really fortunate to have you here in Nebraska, but there's other people that are probably listening to this and saying there's no way
that I could
wade into one of these. Most vocational rehabilitation services in most states have benefits planning specialists that should be able to do this.
Yes.
If you recognize the need, see that the need is there, seek that person out, then you could either assist them in writing the pass or they could write the pass. Isn't that the case,
you
Kelly?
You bet. And then they did have what they call community incentive work coordinators. They had those with they were funded by Social Security, and then they lost some funding for a year, and now they're getting them back. So they should be getting them back throughout the United States that can help with this as well. So, you know, if you're having any problems finding them, let me know or let Rod know. Maybe we can help you find somebody within your state or point you in the right direction on the Internet as to where to locate that person, because those should be coming out at the end of the summer, the new names and contacts for that throughout the United States.
What was that organization again?
It's through Social Security funds it, actually. It's the Community Incentive Work Coordinators. And I don't know if they're going to call that the same thing again. They had those throughout the United States for many years. And Easter Seals in Nebraska also had somebody that filled that position throughout our state. And most states had somebody that was denoted that and paid through Social Security funds to help people with work incentives and PASS and this type of thing, and just their benefits in general. But that went away for about a year because they had some glitches in funding, and now they're getting it back at the end of this year. Now, VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, is heading up the technical assistance for that, and we should have some definites on that probably by the end of the summer as to who those contacts are throughout the United States. So you can actually contact VCU, and they should be able to tell you, too, because they're the technical experts for this whole grant for Social Security.
That's good information to have, Kelly.
Yeah. It's really good that they're coming back with it, because it was very helpful to people. It was somebody they could call in, you know, free of charge to talk about their benefits. It wasn't Social Security, but that knew all these work incentives and benefits that different people could do and help them with it and understand it. So, yeah, Rod's lucky to have, you know, people within the state, and there are other people throughout the state and other states, too, that do this. But I think Nebraska really is very blessed that we have a vocational rehabilitation service that is, you know, really works hand-in-hand with agribility and then has benefits planning and some self-employment services as well to help people that are looking at this whole situation. Anybody else, any questions or anything? I don't know really how much time, Rod, you said I had. You said about 15 minutes, so I don't know if I've overstayed or understayed or what I need to do.
I don't know. How are we doing, Steve?
We're doing fine. She could go for another half hour if you wanted to. let me ask you a question, because you were talking about when you were working with the two goat farms.
Uh-huh.
When you do these PASS plans, is a business plan required to go with that?
It is. If it's self-employment, it's required now. You can do a PASS plan to go back to school. You can do a PASS plan for transportation to go to work. You can do a PASS plan for a lot of different reasons. But if it's for a self-employment situation, it has to have a business plan accompany it to be turned in with it in order to be considered viable. So, yeah, it passed. I mean, go with it. And
Kelly, is that the case if it's a continuation of an existing business, and say that person just wants to expand that his farming operation, or is that the case where it's a new business or a new, you know, where
new business
taking
for
on
sure.
New?
definitely new business for sure, but if they're just expanding or they're continuing a current business, then they would probably have to provide financials of where they were at prior to that and what their expansion idea and everything is. It wouldn't necessarily have to be a full-blown business plan, but I also help people do those, and before working at Easter Seals, taught business planning at the university here and throughout the state, so that's one of my specialties too, but yeah, they need something to substantiate what they are doing and that it's viable and will be viable, you know, as far as getting them off of benefits. So that would be something. It doesn't maybe have to be a full-blown plan, Rod, but
okay.
It needs to be something that would justify that they are going to be successful at what they're doing.
Now,
it does help to have your local VR or voc rehab service involved and be able to say that this person is capable of doing whatever they are setting out to do too. You know, if they want to continue farming, you know, is voc rehab supporting them? Do they have an individual plan of employment? Those kind of things are all good, because then the person that's approving these, whatever region you're at, can look at that and say, well, you know, I can't come out and say if you're, you know, this vocation is good for you or you can do this kind of stuff, but voc rehab locally can, and that if they've got some documentation on that, that really helps too.
Now, are the regulation policies on the pass, are those the same nationwide, or
yes,
are we looking at a situation like voc rehab where we've got some national policies and each state can tweak those or can have their own as long as they conform to the national?
The plan to achieve self-support is a national program. The policies are on SSA.gov. If you were to go to the what they call the Policy Operating Manual or POMS, you can find out all the requirements for a pass, and everything's in there. As far as how each region is treated, that's a little different. We in Central United States, we've got Tim McElvoy out of Kansas City, and he's wonderful, but he's retiring in January, and we're all kind of shaking in our boots trying to figure out who's going to take it over. But it just depends on the person that's running the program in your region as to how much of a stickler or how picky they are on certain things and all that kind of stuff, but what documentation, you know, are they willing to accept for different things and that kind of stuff. So, you know, that I can't tell you, but they are listed in each region who the pass, they call it the pass cadre, C-A-D-R-E, in each region. So it depends on which region you're in as to where that particular person resides.
Thank you.
You bet. But, I mean, like I said, it's a national program, and you should be able to use it anywhere. I will tell you this, that the central part of the United States is using it probably more than any of the other populated areas, which is kind of crazy, but we've got people that understand the program and are supportive of using, you know, using it throughout our area. We're very low populated compared to a lot of people on either coast, and it's been used quite a bit around here.
Well, I've started one, and the client, we got started in it, and he decided he didn't want to mess with it, so we never did.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We never did finish it, and that's been quite a while ago. So
it takes some, you know, what we offer here in Nebraska, voc rehab is willing to pay a grant to have my services do benefits analysis for self-employment people, as well as that would be most farmers and ranchers throughout the state. So we also do follow-up with these folks on their pass and help them with the paperwork and the reviews and all that kind of stuff. So we've got that support here in Nebraska, which is helpful, and other parts of the country, when you don't have that support, it's very frustrating for a lot of people to comply with all the paperwork that they need to make sure that they're doing. But for the most part, my clients keep track of their, you know, they have a pass account to show that everything goes into it each month and keep receipts of everything that goes out of it, and that it balances with their account and everything, and then they should be pretty well, you know, safe as far as their review is concerned. And then they have to turn in their taxes if they're self-employed. And like I said, any receipts in their statements for their pass. So, you know, it is just some extra bookkeeping, but if that extra income helps you, it's not a loan. It's it's basically you're self-funding it. So, you know, it doesn't end up something you have to pay back if you spend it according to your plan.
Now, who monitors the plan while it's in force? Does Social Security do that?
Yes.
Do you do that? Does
Rod
do that?
No. The person themselves, Social Security gives them the rules of what they have to do in order to maintain, you know, correct records, and they agree to that, then they sign the pass off. And then they actually, Social Security, this PASS cadre or specialist in each region is the one that's responsible for monitoring it and making sure that they get all their paperwork in. But like I said, in the state of Nebraska, we help with all the voc rehab clients. We follow them up and help them with the reviews and the paperwork and that type of thing to make sure that they're turning in what they need and keeping track of what they need and that type of stuff. And a lot of my clients I'll check with at least once a month, if not more. So, yeah. It's extra paperwork, I will grant you that. It's just a matter of, do they need this extra support financially, and can they afford a loan, or is this something they need to help pay back that loan? What is it, you know, and you have to kind of look at that situation and go from there.
So for you then, for a client, we're talking easily a three-year commitment then.
You bet. Some of them might have longer, but it just, you know, depends on their situation and what they're doing. I've got a couple that they started out in self-employment and ended up going back to school because the self-employment didn't work, so we amended the past, now we rewrote it, one or the other, and then they've gone back to school to gain a degree and do something else. And so I've ended up with one gentleman for at least 5 years. So, yeah. I'm just now closing them out, so that's a good thing. But yeah, it can happen, but and things can change as life changes. I mean, I understand that, and I think our past person in Kansas City, Tim, understands that. I'm just hoping and praying we get one that still understands that, and you can change, you know, if it comes up and you change, you know, change some ideas or change something you want to do differently or whatever, we can amend it or rewrite it depending on what the situation is and you know, see you through whatever the changes are. So,
how many past plans do you have in effect right now?
Right now, in the state of Nebraska, I don't do all of them. I just do most of the self-employment ones. There's about 10 right now self-employment ones that I'm involved in. And then there's, I think Crystal does ones that are people going to school and, you know, trying to get transportation, like a van. I worked with a gentleman that had to get a van so he could get transportation, modified van for his wheelchair, to get transportation to be able to go to school to get a job. So there's those kind of passes, too. They can use them for all different kinds of things, which is really cool that you can use something for transportation, because very few things will buy pieces of equipment or transportation, you know, in, as far as I'm aware of. But Crystal's got probably about, I want to say, 25 or 30.
Crystal, so, is another...
another individual with
Easter Seals employee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But these end up, ultimately, if you write a pass for somebody, it ends up your voc rehab, it'll stretch your voc rehab dollars. If somebody's going to voc rehab and needing some equipment, and voc rehab's willing to go to, you know, this amount of money, then the pass would be able to maybe pick up another, you know, substantial piece of the puzzle to help them get what they need to get going. Like I said, right now I'm doing one that they're doing a pass, they're doing an Easter Seals loan for some equipment, and they're also getting self-employment dollars from Voc Rehab. So it's just, you know, a matter of putting different financing pieces together, and this just happens to be another piece of the puzzle if it actually works for the client. So there's all different kinds. There's community development block grants out there, too, that people can look at, and special loan funds. There's all kinds of the USDA has funded a lot of different special loan funds throughout the different states, too. I know we've got some here in Nebraska that rural businesses and whatnot can use. So anyhow, did I answer what you wanted? Kind of hard to know what people are thinking or what questions they have. And And just dealing with Social Security, trying to explain SSDI and SSI in a very short period of time is hard, and I realize that. So I'm sorry that, you know, I kind of buzzed through that. But I will, I'll send this to whoever, and then they can send it on, this quick reference guide that I get from our region 7, and send on. It's actually through the University of Missouri that I get this. They used to be the ones that were our technical assistance people when I first started this, and they produce a wonderful piece, and then BCU got the contract, and they've taken it over. So that's who we rely on for technical assistance on Social Security issues now, so, as well as the Social Security offices, too. But it's amazing. And a lot of these Social Security offices, you've got somebody that knows what's going on with SSI, but they have no idea what's going on with SSDI, or vice versa. And that, to me, is just crazy. They should be cross-trained on both of them.
Hey, Kelly?
Yeah.
This is Rick again. Did you say there's a limit as to how much can be put into a PASS account or not?
No, there's not a limit. If somebody's got a resource, you know, I've had other clients, like let's say a person becomes of age and grandma's put away money, but they never knew about it. And all of a sudden they may lose their SSI benefits because they're way over resources because grandma put away this money and they had no idea that grandma was doing it. They can take that money and put that in whatever amount it is into a PASS and save their SSI payments and use it for school or work or going, you know, farming, whatever they decide they want to do. So, yeah, you can be. There isn't a limit. They can put more than they have. Very few that put more in than what their SSDI payment is or whatever. But they can. Yeah, they're capable of doing it. Like I said, that one lady had a insurance benefit that she got from being a beneficiary of a life insurance policy, and we put that in, and then she purchased some land with it. So that was very beneficial to be able to do. That was about $35,000. So.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they can. It's just usually very few people that are on benefits have a whole lot of money hanging out there, especially if they're farming.
put extra
money into it. But, you know, it's possible, yeah. So,
okay, thanks.
You bet. And, you know, if you have some other questions and you can't find your person in your state, you know, Rod knows how to get a hold of me. You could probably contact Rod and I could probably answer quick questions for you, you know, just to help you out so we could find who you would talk to in your state about it. But for the most part, it fits for certain people, but for some it doesn't. Like I said, if they aren't on benefits, it's not going to help them out anyway. But if they are, this is something that might work depending on their situation.
Yeah, I would venture to guess that most people have at least maybe one client or two clients on their customer list that probably would qualify for this. It doesn't happen very often, but I think it's important to recognize when they do fit the criteria.
Right, and depending on what they're doing, the paperwork doesn't have to be that extensive. I know anything with the government is always going to be extensive. Anything with a loan is going to have paperwork, you know, involved with it. So depending, I mean, if they're a farmer and they're already dealing with their banker, they probably got most of the paperwork they need to have for a PASS. They just have to make copies and send it in to their PASS specialist anyway in their region for review. So, you know, most farmers are used to doing some paperwork anyway. They're staying afloat. So, you know, it can be done. Just need to know for sure how to do it and find the technical person in your area that can help you. And there are those out there.
Okay, I will get you Steve's email address, Kelly, and if there are any requests then for that publication or the information that you have, then Steve can forward it. And are there any other questions for Kelly before we turn this back to Steve? All right. Well, thank you very much, Kelly. I really appreciate you filling us in with that information. I think it's been very helpful. Like I said, I don't be afraid to wade into one. There are usually the people available to help you through it, and the real shame would be is if there was someone in your state that did qualify for it and could take advantage of it that you miss. And that's kind of what this whole call was all about, was just to be able to recognize who who could take advantage of it and who couldn't. So, all right, thanks, Kelly.
You bet. Thanks a lot. I'm going to hang up. You guys can visit a little bit more about other issues that you need to, but I appreciate everybody's listening. And like I said, if there's something I can do to help, I'd be more than happy to do it. Okay?
All right. Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
And thank you, Rod.
Okay, is that all the business we have for today, Steve?
Well, I was going to throw it out to see if anybody had anything they wanted to share. I know there's a few of us that are going to Seattle for the RESNA conference. I don't know whether there's anybody on going to ISASH, but
yeah, I am.
Okay.
Dinetta.
Okay. Anything that anybody would want to bring up to the group?
Do we have a call scheduled for next month?
No, it'll be 2 months.
2 months? Okay.
2 months.
All right.
And I'll have to check and see who's moderating that one. And if I remember right, we're going to review.
I think I was.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that I was going to, probably with you, doing the review of RESNA.
Review, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yep.
That's
still scheduled anyway.
Okay. I'm writing it down again then, so. Well, if there's nothing else, I will let all of you go. I know we've got a lighting webinar with Rob Stuthridge at 3, so we'll let you. This will let you go to the little boys' room or girls' room and get you something to drink and get ready for the webinar then. Thank you very much.
Have a good one, sir. We'll see you in Seattle.